Father, you are so good. Thank you. Had Matt share his salvation experience with Amazing Grace. And he didn't know we were singing Amazing Grace, nor did Bob know when he picked the song that that's what Matt would be sharing. Lord, teach our heart to fear, and then our fears relieved through Christ. And help us continue with, like Matt said, awe, terror even, and reverence to you. Hallelujah. To you be the honor and the glory and the power forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So turn with me to Luke chapter 3. It's page 1593. And if you enjoy going through an outline, that's in your bulletin. And online too, hit worship. And it'll be a little drop down, say sermons and bulletins, and you can find that there. Joel Szymanski, thank you. Thank you for last week. So good. I mean, we're comforted by God. How do you get comfort? Get content. And then Mary's words in scripture for Mother's Day. Just so, so good. I love Joel's statement. Giving birth is the hardest thing he's never done. That was well said. Well said. Now, some of you, I would kind of, probably have not been this, you know, unspiritual to watch Monty Python, Holy Grail. Okay, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So it's a classic. It ends. It has the dumbest ending. It's the dumbest ending. But it's King Arthur looking for the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. And they're at the end of their quest, and they finally are at the castle where the cup is. And there's this weird old gatekeeper or bridgekeeper, and there's this bridge across the moat that's like the abyss. And in order to be able to cross the bridge, you have to answer three questions. Question number one, what is your name? Question number two, what is the nature of your quest? And question number three is a free-for-all. So, I mean, the first knight gets up, what's your name? Says it. What's your quest? The Holy Grail. What's your favorite color? Red. You may pass. So the next guy comes up like, oh, this is easy, you know, what's your favorite color? And so, you know, what's your name, what's your quest? And then the question is, who won the World Cup in 1948? into the abyss. Well, then it's King Arthur's turn to come up. What's your name, King Arthur? What's your quest? The Holy Grail. What is the flying speed of a coconut-laden sparrow? European or African? I don't know. Goes the gatekeeper. Okay. Is heaven like that? Jesus is the bridge. He's the only way. It's the difference between the castle heaven or the abyss hell. We're talking real stuff. You better know what the questions are going to be and what we need to answer. And God sees our heart. One of the scariest passages to me is Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus at the end of his sermon says, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. They felt intimate with Jesus. They felt they were in. They felt they knew the questions and the answers. And he says, anyway, they say, didn't we cast out demons in your name and preach in your name and do miracles in your name? We prayed in your name. Weren't we Christians? And Jesus will say, and it's a direct quote from Psalm chapter 6, verse 8, depart from me. I never knew you. There's two words in the New Testament for no. There's the word oida, doesn't mean anything to you. But when the people who have, the guy who has not doubled his talent but just sat on it, he used the word I oided, I knew you were a hard man. And the king says, if you oided me that, why didn't you act on it? Oida has the idea of intellectual knowledge. That's not the word Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7. he uses the word gnosko. And the first time the word gnosko appears in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph chose not to know Mary. It's the experiential knowledge. Jesus is saying, I never experienced you, and you never experienced me. That's the question. Not just intellectually, do you know that Jesus died? Amen. And rose again? Hallelujah. And he died for our sins. It's justification by faith in grace through Christ alone. Amen. Do you know that question? And that's part of it. But have you experienced him? Have you experienced him? Or is it just all up here? And the difference is between the castle and the abyss. Look at Luke chapter 3. We need to get back to the basics. Back to not just intellectually trusting Christ, but experientially believing, obeying. Stand up with me. We're going to read Luke chapter 3. We're looking at the kingdom. The kingdom makes all the difference. God is king, Jesus is king, and his kingdom is where he reigns. And where he reigns now is where people want him to reign willingly. So let's start down. We'll begin in the beginning. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene. And it's interesting, some years ago, scholars said, see, Luke's making up stuff because we know of everybody but this Licinius. And then they found inscriptions. There was a guy named Licinius. How about that? During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it's written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. All mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him. Now, what he's going to say, we think of him just saying to the Pharisees and the scribes. Yes, he did, but he said it to us common people too. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Kind of like what Matt talked about. Lord, teach our heart to fear. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Read that sentence with me. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Let this be an experience, just not up in your head. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit, fruits of repentance, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And you know what fire he's talking about. What should we do then? The crowd asked. Amen. They had that fear. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, he stole basically or took his brother's wife to himself. Herod added this to them all. He locked up John in prison. when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son," quote from the Psalms, "whom I love," quote from Isaiah, "with him I am well pleased," another quote from Isaiah. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, it was thought, of Joseph. Heavenly Father, help us move from the oida to the gnosko, wherever we are. Lord, that to me, again, the scariest passage, I never knew you. Lord, let us not be one of those who deceive ourselves, who think we're in when we're not. And then, Lord, help us not to be afraid and so shave off the rough edges of the gospel that we are giving people encouragement when they really should not yet hear those words. Make us more like John the Baptist, who, while can say, "You're a snake, but see the fruit." Please, Lord. And Lord, we know that you're doing this because you love us. You want us in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I'm sure this is God's word. It's not going to be up here. So if you want to, here we go. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I'll read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. You guys did great. Give each other a tap or something. Take a seat. God presents himself as king. And a key of being a king is having subjects. And he wants subjects who are willing. So he's reigned from all eternity. Amen. But he's reigning now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's in our hearts. Now he's coming back, and then he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And John says, and Jesus says, it's near, it's close, it's at hand. It's available, it's accessible. You can step into it, you can enter it, but also you better do it. You better do it quickly, amen? And from 2 weeks ago, preached on how John, you know, he believed that Jesus was before him, more powerful than him, more glorious than him. Sounds like he believed Jesus was God. And you need to believe, and John never uses that word, but it's assumed or implied that you believe that Jesus is the king, and the kingdom's near, and he's going to judge us either with fire or the Holy Spirit. And we need to believe about ourselves that you and I are headed for hell. Okay? You're going to hell. I'm going to hell without Jesus. And we kind of use that during the baptism. Do you believe that you and I are in big trouble without Jesus? That you and I, we have to see that. It was interesting. Joel shared with me today in a Bible study he's in, the guys were talking about, there's things that we just didn't get until we got older, and I think as in much older. And one of the things was that we're damned to hell. We just didn't hear that in church. We are going to hell. You got to believe that. And he's talking to Pharisees who tithed, who prayed, oh, I don't know how many times a day, who fasted twice a week, and he told them, you're going to hell. I know you're in church, and that is so good. That means a lot to me. But if you don't trust in Jesus, you're going to hell. I don't care if you write a check for $10,000 for Johnny and friends. If you're not trusting Jesus, you're going to hell. Isn't that hard? But that's what it's saying. And don't think that God, I mean, because they were thinking, well, at least I'm a Jew. God can make Jews out of stones. It's your heart. It's your heart. And I want to talk about this a little bit. I didn't get to explain it well last time. When Scripture uses the word believe, and the word believe and faith occur like 300 some times in the New Testament, almost always, the word believe is in the present tense. Okay? Bob, are you married? Did you get married? You're still married? As far as you know. Lots of times, in Christian circles, have you trusted Christ? That's a good question. We need to trust Christ. And we need, it's good to have a point. But I can ask Bob, did you get married? Yes. But then if I keep going, well, how are you and Grace doing? That's another question. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and. It's, are you believing in Jesus? Yeah, I believed in him. Amen. Are you now? Where are you right now? It's always in the present tense. Another interesting thing is there. It's almost always with the word in after it. You know, not do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Just doing some reading this last week. They've looked for this in secular writings of Greek. They can't find the word. It hardly ever happens. They would say, yeah, I believe about God. I know that, but not believe in. And then I did a little more research, and it's not the word in the Greek. It's the word into. I mean, it's really strong. Have you believed into Jesus? Not just about him, not just in him, but have you believed into him? You know, this chair can probably hold maybe even a ton. It's strong. It's made out of steel. I think it's either half inch or 3/4 inch plywood. I mean, it is strong. I'm just explaining how I believe about it. Now I'm beginning to believe in it, and now I'm believing into it. Amen. And if I was acrobatic, I'd do a handstand on this thing, but that would not be good. Amen. This thing's good. I believe in it and into it. Have you believed into Jesus? Amen. Wow. So keep trusting, keep believing. Now, faith is not a work. It becomes a work when you go, oh, do I believe? Do I believe? No, 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 no. Look to Jesus. That's where your faith comes from. And then it builds from the inside out. So we need to believe. But the second thing we need to do is we need to repent. 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 I have a cribbage story to share. Janet's had a long winning streak. Just saying. I don't know, was it Friday? I don't know what day it was, but anyway, on the first hand, I made a mistake. In cribbage, the way we play, it's called a muggins, and then the other person gets the points that you missed. However, when I made my mistake, I made the mistake in a way that she didn't catch. And then I went ahead and took the right amount of points when I realized it, but it was wrong because I had let how we play. Right, Joel, there's a professional way to play cribbage and there's an unprofessional. We play the professional. When your hand's off that peg, ha-ha, we got you, you got a muggins. So anyway, my hand was off. Yeah. So I slid in my one point. I'm going to preach to myself. Ken! How much are you willing to sell your soul for? Oh, 1 point, is that bad? It's just a game. I mean, Holy Spirit's starting to knock on the heart. You know you did wrong. Yeah, but she's been having a winning streak. You know, it's just a game. She didn't catch it. I mean, I was saying that kind of stuff. On the third hand, oh, it was hard. It was so hard. I said, on that first hand, I really didn't do right. I moved myself back a peg. You know what I really thought? That God was going to reward me. Aren't I sweet? Man, look at me, man. I did it. I felt so good, but I thought, that's just 1 point. Guess how much I lost the game by? 1 point! And the thought that hit me was, if I had not listened to the Holy Spirit's conviction, oh, it's just a game. And then I would have come to the last, and I won by 1 point. I would have felt like a slime ball. And I should have. Amen? Repent isn't just intellectual. Oh, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. It's intellectual, it's emotional, and it's volitional. It's, I see it that was wrong. I feel it that that was wrong. And now I'm going to do something about it. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Amen. Oh, I feel so bad. Amen. But I keep doing the same stuff. You better stop. It's all together. It's all together. Repentance, and so actually, you change your thinking. For them, back then, being a Jew is not enough. Going to church is not enough. Being a nice guy like Matt talked is not enough. I got to change my thinking. But then oh, Lord, I am sinful. I am self-centered. I'm lustful. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I gossip. Go through the Ten Commandments. And then, Lord, help me produce fruit. I was taught growing up as well as in seminary, and it's really a minority view, that repentance was just for Jews and just for the Old Testament. And that is so untrue. Jesus said, unless you repent and become like little children, you will all likewise perish. He said, proclaim repentance for forgiveness of sins in my name. Repentance is supposed to be part of our gospel presentation. And if you look at most of our gospel like tracts, they don't talk about repentance. It's just believe in Jesus. And amen, it's true. But if you're turning from sin to him, if you're believing in Jesus to forgive your sins, what sins are you talking about? And this is scary. To the seven churches, that's to us, right, in Revelation, Jesus is speaking in Revelation 2 and 3. He says, repent 8 different times. Repent, 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 repent. Oh, that's nice, Jesus. I mean, he says, no. If you don't repent, I'm taking you off the lampstand. I'll snuff out your light. I'll fight you with the sword of my mouth. I'll throw you on a bed of suffering. I'll come at you like a thief in the night. I mean, it's really strong stuff. It's not like, well, if you want to repent, you can, but if you don't want to repent, it's okay, you just lose some rewards. No. I'm taking you out. Lord, help us to repent. And then Paul in Acts says, I solemnly testify to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's preached both. I kept declaring to all people everywhere that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. That sounds like John the Baptist, doesn't it? I want you to believe, I want you to repent, and then I want you to produce fruit. And that, theologically, the Reformation, thank you, Lord, emphasized justification by faith through grace alone in Christ. But we need to have the balancing or parallel truth that the true faith works. Martin Luther said, and when he, as he wrestled with this, when he came to the book of James, when he first came to it, he said, throw it out. It doesn't belong in Scripture. It works. But then as he processed, oh, keep it. Amen. Because the faith that saves alone does not stand alone. And that's it's a tricky balance, but it's not works. Scripture says, here's this big theological debate, which you really don't hear on WCRF, but if you're theologically attuned, you're hearing it. What is kind of being preached is, you know, God has to do a work in our heart. What I'm saying is true. God has to, can you get saved on your own? No, God has to do it, right? At the same time, you're supposed to believe. And it's this thing of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility and freedom. But there's a neat, neat verse in Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 30, where God says, when I cast you out of the land and you're worshiping gods you don't know and you're in a land you don't know and you, not me, you come to your senses and you circumcise your heart, then I will circumcise your heart. There's this thing of it happens somehow together. And the best way that God's sovereignty and man's freedom come together is through prayer. And so if you're struggling with a sin that you can't seem to beat, ask for repentance. Lord, I'm not repenting like I should. Help me to feel this. Pray to him. It's not, yeah, I repented. Wasn't I awesome there in that cribbage? What a jerk I was to do it to begin with, to have to wait three times. Lord, help me repent better and quicker. That's the humility. And Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, he says, wineskins get hard. You need to keep them soft for the Spirit. And how can you repent? Again, I'm going to emphasize, please get in your mind that truth chart. When you have, I'm using this S4H. S, when you have a sin, or the four H's, when you have a habit or a hurt or a hurdle or a hard scripture, those are the areas the Holy Spirit's trying to get in. Those are the areas where it's hard, a hardened wineskin. Ah, Lord, why am I fighting your Spirit about one point in cribbage? Because I like to win. Because I feel better when I win. Because I feel smarter and more powerful when I win. It's junk. Dude, honestly, God is working on this on our hearts for both Janet and me. And now we're putting in either a king card in the cribbage board if I win or a queen card, because maybe it's our age, but we can't remember who won last. I think it's my spiritual growth too, besides my age, because I'm starting to, what I remember from the last game was how we laughed, how we had fun, how we talked, and the winning is becoming, I mean, I still want to win. Okay, I mean, Lord, help me repent. help us, Lord. And then, so we need to be believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and King and friend and God. We need to repent and keep. Repent is in the present tense too. It's to be a lifelong process, right? Paul, as he gets older, and he says, I'm the least of all saints. Or no, first he says, I'm the least of all apostles. Then a little bit later, he says, I'm the least of all saints. And a little bit later, he says, I'm the worst of sinners. He's growing in his understanding of his sin, as should you and I. So keep believing, keep repenting. And then third, get baptized. I mean, John says this. Now, do you have to be baptized to be saved? I was with a well-known Christian leader, And it was him and me and another pastor. And this well-known Christian leader says, do you have to be baptized to be saved? And me and this other pastor, who were coming from different denominations or perspectives, whatever, we kind of looked at each other like, who wants to take this one? And anyway, but we both said, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But you do need to be baptized to be obedient. And this Christian leader who speaks in churches all over the place went, phew, good, then I'm not getting baptized. Both me and the other pastor were like, what? Let me use an analogy. Let's suppose when I fell in love with Janet, and I said, Janet, I want to marry you. What, did I say something wrong again?
You started to say somebody else.
I started to say, I was trying to say, yeah, good point. I was going to say Jesus. Oh, no, Janet. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I never gave anybody with that. Yeah. When I started to fall in love with Janet, and I said, I want to marry you. And Janet would say, well, I need to see that you're serious about this. Well, how can I prove that I'm serious? Well, how about a ring? I got this pop tab. Could that work? And then she'd say, and this isn't true, and you live in your parents' basement with no job. Well, if I worked at McDonald's for 10 or 20 hours a week, would that do? And then, back then, this is not true either because we didn't have cell phones. And then I know the kind of stuff that you guys look at. I need access to your cell phone. Well, how about if I promise I'll never do that again? What would you tell Janet? Run! Run! Well, do I have to be baptized to be saved? Oh, good. Something's wrong. Lord Jesus, What do you want me to do? Not my will, but your will be done. Amen. And if you haven't gotten baptized and that's a struggle for you, please do the truth chart. Lord, why am I afraid to get baptized? Why am I afraid to do it? And just work it through. So keep repenting, keep believing, get baptized. And then the fourth thing, step, is produce fruit. Now, I think that's to make sure your faith is real. That's not to keep your salvation or to get you saved. It's something that's throughout the whole Bible. In Deuteronomy, God says, look, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you disobey me, you'll be cursed. That's the way it is. He tells Ezekiel, if a righteous man begins depending upon his righteousness and stops doing righteousness, his righteous deeds will be forgotten. A few years ago, just 3 or 4 years ago, this struck me. I was really battling with, Lord, do you want me to keep preaching or whatever? And I began reviewing my life of all the sacrifices I've made, of how hard I've worked and all bum, bum, bum. And you know what? If I retired today, I've done enough. Ezekiel came to mind. If a righteous man starts depending upon his righteous deeds, oh, Lord, I've done enough. Have you, Ken? I haven't brought you home yet. Amen? Amen? Whew. And Jesus says he'll judge between the trees, the soils, the wheat and the weeds, the fish, the wise and the foolish virgins, the talents, those who either double their talents or sit on them, the sheep and the goats. It's just all over the place. True faith results in fruit. And if you're not seeing a difference, Lord, help me to believe better. Help me to repent better. Show, be my Lord. And is fruit then a work? No, it's fruit. I love John chapter 7. On the last greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty, and I did the translation from the Greek, be coming to me, keep coming to me, continually come to me, and be drinking, keep drinking, just not a one-time shot. Whoever is believing in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will be flowing from within them, from their belly. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who are believing in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Or Jesus in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Do apple trees go, I'm going to produce fruit, I'm going to produce fruit. No, I'm going to put my roots down. I'm going to put my leaves out. I'm going to suck up that water. Boop, 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 fruit. My daughter gave me a link to a podcast that I think I might maybe preach on after doing the Kingdom of God. It's called Fighting Hustle and Hurry. Hustle and hurry are the biggest things. It's eating our lunch. We don't know how to stop. And the one pastor shared, he begins his day about 5 minutes just thinking about Jesus coming towards him. Jesus in all his love, and glory, and peace, and joy, and just welcome. See, what's he doing? He's abiding. And he's thinking about Jesus. And then he's feeling the love. He's feeling the power. He's feeling the glory. And then, once he feels like, I guess he's in Jesus' lap, then he pictures what he has to do through the day and the people he has to meet. And he and Jesus together going through the day. That's where the fruit is. That's where the joy is. And the goal for producing fruit is not to bring us glory, but to bring Jesus glory. Amen. Amen. Now, whenever I give you a chart, that's the sine qua non. What does that mean? Without which there is none. Yeah, I knew that. It's the essence. This is what I'm trying to say. There's the kingdom follower, and there's the modern-day Christian. And unfortunately, there is a difference. You know, we use the word Christian all the time, and it's okay. It's a good word. But it's only used in the Bible two times. Two times. The word disciple, follower, is used 268 times. Do you think that maybe we might be a little under or overbalanced. So a kingdom follower, when they look at faith, faith means confidence in Jesus that results in obedience. It's a point in time, but it's lifelong. Oh, but for the modern Christian, oh yeah, I prayed the prayer. That's good, but not maybe enough. Repentance for the kingdom follower, it's a change of mind, heart, and action. The Hebrew has the idea of transform your heart. That's the idea of repentance. Transform your heart. Whereas for the modern Christian, well, yeah, I don't really need to repent. Or maybe I just need to change my mind about Jesus or justification by faith. So much more. For the kingdom follower, Jesus is King. He's Savior. He's Lord. He's model. He's friend. He's so many good things. But for the modern Christian, well, Jesus is my Savior, and that's all I want to do. He can be my Lord, but that's extra credit. The Holy Spirit. Kingdom follower, I got to have the Holy Spirit. I can't do this on my own, right? For the Christian, Holy Spirit, I don't know, sounds kind of charismatic and weird and crazy, and it's not for me. And the purpose for the kingdom follower, to go to heaven and bring heaven down. For the Christian, I just want to go to heaven. To love God, for the kingdom follower, that is all of my life in all areas. For the Christian, well, I'll love God, I'll go to church some and read my Bible some, and it's so... For the kingdom follower, love people, they're made in the image of God. And look at our little gospel tracts, including the ones we use. It says, here it is. It says, after you trust Jesus, day to day, moment by moment, but then it talks about, going to church and all that's good. But what about caring for the poor? What about if you have two shirts, share with him who has none, like John the Baptist? See, we're not even telling people to love their neighbor. Wow. So, taking it home, please ask, am I just a modern Christian or am I a kingdom follower? Is it just been up here or is it down here and coming out my life? Am I trusting Jesus just for heaven? Or for heaven and bringing it down? Do I want to make a difference? Is there fruit? What changes have there been since I trusted Jesus? What changes is he calling me to make now? Please, when I went to Whispering Cove and was with that psychotherapist for 2 weeks, and when I came back, my one daughter told her two sisters, Dad's different. And you know what? It should be, you went to church today, didn't you? How can you tell? Oh, you're different. Did you have your Bible reading today? Yeah, how'd you tell? Oh, you're different. That's whole life long, amen? Then do I need to get baptized? Own my faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord publicly. And please talk to me. You've put that on the sign-up sheet. And I encourage you, practice the truth chart. Now, I want to end with a story to emphasize what I am not trying to say. I read of a guy going to a Christian institution, maybe it was a college or something, and they had these ornate, beautiful marble steps. And there was this woman who was just scrubbing on them, and they were already beautiful and they were shining. And he says, wow, those steps are stunning. Or, they're... whatever. And she looked up with her scrub brush and she said, heaven's not cheap, Was she producing fruits of repentance? No. She was bitter. She was angry. She didn't know if they shined enough. She felt God was harsh and hard and that maybe she had to do more. That's not saving faith. If it had been fruits of repentance, it would have been this response, oh, thank you, because Jesus is worth it after all he's done for me. See the difference. Jesus is King. Keep believing. Keep repenting. get baptized and abide in him, and he will boop, 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 produce fruit. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you are so good. Help us to get it, Lord, please. And if we haven't, oh, help us just be honest with you. Lord, I don't know whether I am saved, but I want to be. Help me to believe. Help me to repent and to keep on my whole life through till you take me home to heaven. Boy, and if that's your prayer, please talk to me. Reach out. Get baptized. Lord Jesus, help us to abide. And I just want to just stop here and
check. Good, sorry. Father, help us to abide in you. And I'd like you to just picture Jesus, like that pastor did, coming to you, full of love and joy and peace and patience, holiness, righteousness, purity. And he wants to invade your life. He wants to take over. He wants to cast out the darkness and bring in light. He wants to cast out the hatred or the unforgiveness or the bitterness or the hardness and bring in love and joy and peace. Receive him. Believe into him. Thank you, Lord. Now, picture yourself, and I encourage you to do this in your prayer time, maybe tomorrow, going out from here. Jesus is inside of you as you trust into him. And he's going to fill you with love and light and joy and purity and righteousness. Let him have his way and his work in you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Lord, we take up the yoke in Jesus' name. All right. We're going to sing now. If you need prayer, Joel and Susie, if you would come up. Let's worship our King, our Lord, our friend.